Gavin, the Cats got their finals campaign back on track.
Extraordinary turnaround by Geelong.
Geelong steamrolled Sydney.
The Swans, their season is done.
And have a date with the Crows in Adelaide.
The Cats are into another prelim.
A grand final spot is on the line. Welcome to the Adelaide Oval for the first preliminary final.
For Reem.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
Tonight in Adelaide, currently 28 degrees, as expected, a full house, the first prelim final. It gets no bigger or no better. The Cats taking on the Adelaide Crows. Guests, we got them coming out absolutely everywhere tonight. The coach of the Adelaide Crows, Don Pike, will join us about 25 to 7 local time. Matty Scarlett from the Cats. Belinda Sloan, the partner of Rory, will be in the box. And the boys are locked and loaded. Juddy's got a world exclusive. Even Darce said he's going to bring something to the table. And it's very nice we've got a new member for the first time on the Friday Huddle as well. The King of Adelaide. As I look around, Darce is here. Damo's here. Chris Juddy's here. Nate Brown's not here, which we'll get to. But Mark Rusciuto is here. We'll start with you, Roo. Great to see you. Tell me about the last few days in Adelaide. What's the build-up been like? Are you confident?
Listen, I think it's a 50-50 game, but the build-up's been slow and steady. I think everyone in Adelaide feels like it has been a long time between games. So they're confident without being cocky. Geelong have been a hard side to beat for Adelaide, although they did beat them the last game. So I think there's a bit of nervous tension around the city.
I have brought something to the table tonight, Howie, but I need to get it legaled, and I will be seeking that approval from the Triple M Legal Department. I'm glad the great Mark Rusciuto is here, the eight-time All-Australian, because I tend to just value his opinion on matters like this very, very strongly, and I think he'll have an interesting take on that. But stay tuned a little bit later on, because it could blow the Friday Huddle wide apart, Damo.
Really?
Forward to that. Juddy's got a little bit as well. Damo, great to see you here as well.
Yeah, thank you, Howie, and it's actually fortunate that we have got Darce actually with us right this very moment, given what happened to him throughout the course of the afternoon.
Well, it started with Juddy, to be honest. We've come over here on Virgin, and Juddy didn't start that well for you. We're lucky to actually all be here tonight. It started with you, Chris. What'd you do?
Well, I went to check in and got told that it actually oversold the tickets, which I'm told is regular practice in the airline industry.
Oversold the tickets.
And that as such, my seat, which was already booked, was no longer available, which...
In business class or...?
They described it to me as a bit like lay-by, Roo. Lay-by to me is people who buy something when they don't have the money. This is people who sell something when they don't have something to sell. So it's the inverse to lay-by, but regardless, I was initially worried, but... Once she worked out who she was dealing with, she pretty quickly...
Well, that was the problem you did have initially, Juddy, wasn't it? I don't think that first person knew who you were. So there was no urgency around the situation. Nah. And then you went above that first person.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of urgency.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there was a small team of 12 or 13 people, as there should be. And that lady will find some work elsewhere, Purple. It's going to be hard for her to find work in Australia, but I'm confident she'll get a job
She gave
elsewhere.
You nothing for 20 minutes.
And anyway, we made it on time. Duke, obviously... was not quite so fortunate, Howie, but...
Well, that is an interesting take on what happened on that, because I had checked in, I had a seat, and I was fine. I got caught up talking to you and Jace McCartney by the check-in. All good. A little bit of insight on what's happening at the Bulldogs. All good, by the way. No dramas at all. Nothing to see there, Roo. I went to turn around the corner, door closed. Sorry, champ, you're out, and your chance of getting another flight is next to none, was the message I got back very quickly. I think Juddy stole my seat on that flight, but order was quickly restored because they did know me, Juddy, and I went straight up the front of the bus, and I got over here in fine style, so everyone's happy.
It was an interesting flight all round. Great credit to the AFL CEO, Gil McLachlan, was on the flight. I presume he was up the top end of the plane. His wife was on the plane down in economy. He swapped seats with her, so he came and sat across the aisle from me, and then I saw him turn around, clicking his fingers in your direction, shouting out something to you, Damo. He came down to have a word to you. Can you let us know what happened with the CEO?
Well, you're telling the story, how are you? You seem to know what happened.
From what I can gather, he came down and made a few demands on you, which you quickly said, okay, boss, I'll sort that out. Is this true or not?
He asked me if I could assist with something he was working on.
Did he ask you to write his speech for tonight?
No, he just needed a little line to use just to start the speech, yeah.
Did you spend the entire flight writing
the
speech?
I might have provided him a line that he might use, yeah.
Ghostwriter for the AFL CEO, Damo, as
well,
part of your...
Well, he looked stressed. He had to sit down in seat 27F.
That wouldn't have gone well.
No, he didn't look right down there, Howie, did he?
He gave up his seat for his wife, though, which I enjoyed.
It's emasculating, I thought, that, Howie.
Why didn't he just buy two business classes?
Oh, I'm not sure. What was that, Chris?
I just thought it was a bit emasculating for him.
Giving up your seat for his wife?
I think so. That's how it starts. It's a slippery slope once you start doing it.
Well, what happens next?
You give up the seat at the front. Next thing you know, you're wearing a dress in the house. I just think I felt embarrassed for him.
But, you know. So you did write his speech?
No, I assisted with part of what he may be saying tonight.
I'm assuming it wasn't any funny stuff, Damo. No, that's normally not where you operate down that end of the pool.
We're the first change bowler into the wind, us, and... it's all you can.
You happy with what you came up with or not? Can you fill us in? A little
exclusive view? Like it. He's since responded and said, I'll use a bit of it.
The good evening, ladies and gentlemen part. Now, yeah. Roo, great respect for you here in Adelaide, and everyone in the box has great respect for you. But obviously, Nathan Brown's been a stalwart and a mainstay of the Friday huddle, and we were told during the week that he wasn't going to be invited tonight.
No.
Now, it has caused a little bit of friction, Roo, to the point where our great producer, Luke Tunnicliffe, had to ring Nath. And in Friday huddle form, we thought we might just run a bit of a tape over at Roo.
Oh, no.
So this is Tunners, our producer, speaking to Nath and delivering the news that maybe he wasn't going to be selected.
Hello, mate.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good, good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. It's all happening.
Excited about this weekend. How good is this going to be?
It's a big week. Mate, just wanted to chat to you because for this Friday night we've decided to leave you out for team balance, so you won't be coming with us to Adelaide this week.
What do you mean?
Look, we've just decided this week to go down a different path with our lineup.
But I've done Friday nights all year.
So the decision we've made. So
whose decision was it?
Look, it was a group decision. But you don't need to know those things. It's just the way it is.
Well, I need to know because we're a team and we've been a team all year. We've been number one. We were number four last year. I come in and the ratings are huge.
I had a call from Darce and he suggested we go down this path. But that, again, I've supported
Darce.
Darce's, yeah.
That pencil neck mother since when's he been the team leader? Why is it his decision?
Well, no, it was he just threw it up as an option and I support it.
So who are you going with?
Well, we're going with a bloke who's, you know, the king of Adelaide. He's won Brownlows, premierships, everything, and that's Ricciuto.
That Adelaide f***ing bogan.
Yeah, Mark Ricciuto.
Yeah, he's a good player and all, but f***ing, what about his nasally voice?
Well,
yeah, with that stupid nasally voice that Juddy's got, it's going to be a big nasal off in the back row. And what's Howie got to say about it?
No, you know, Howie has no say in matters.
Well, he's a cricket commentator. He's not even f***ing any good at that.
Hey, listen, I can see you're a bit cut up, so I've got to run, but... we'll talk in the next couple of days, all right?
Go f*** yourself.
Roo, it's been awkward. No one wanted to bring it up in the box, but how'd you find out that you were kicking out our main man?
Well, just from you 5 minutes ago, to be honest, I hadn't thought about it too much. I just presumed I'd be in and someone would be out.
What about the line that Roo used, Howie, when you did inform you that Brownie wasn't here and that he's not happy that Roo's taking his spot and he just said... there is a food chain.
He's a little bit flat out, man, Nate.
What a hard selection, let's be honest, Howie. We didn't join it for a long while, Roo.
Didn't take long.
In comes Ricciuto.
He let himself down last week with Neroli too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Found out about the Terry Wallace Club cover-offs he's been doing in the background. So
it's not far off a suspension as opposed to Nate,
but we are stoked to have Roo here tonight.
Are we ever?
Thank you.
A bit of a thought on tonight's game, Juddy. We saw the Cats last week. Everyone wrote them off against Sydney, which we all did in the box. They were very, very impressive. Are they a chance tonight?
Oh, they're absolutely a chance. They were dynamite last week, which we all witnessed. But I think it's a different proposition coming to Adelaide, playing Adelaide. We know they're going to be fresh. They bat really deep through the midfield. And I think the Crows are going to be good enough tonight, Duke. But certainly going to be a huge game.
I think the home ground advantage factor plays a massive part in it. To beat Adelaide here in a final is a massive, massive thing to do. And they have been top of the ladder for a reason. Their style of play is outstanding. I think the way they're coached, the balance of their team, even with a couple of late injuries. McGovern out, Roo, is a big one for me. I really love what he does and what he brings to the side. But Andy Otten's an interesting selection. It's not like for like, but I think you've been able to use your depth and replace the side well. I mean, prelim finals are notorious for things thrown up that you wouldn't expect. But I think if all things are equal tonight, I think your team's just good enough to win.
Are you surprised they've kept Stanley in the side and gone to and brought in Lonergan as well and, you know, played a pretty tall side?
Yeah, I am. I am very much. I mean, it might work out well because you could not get a better day over here. It's about 25 degrees still, perfect night. I didn't see Stanley staying in this side. I think going the extra runner, the extra pressure play in finals, to me, is the obvious choice. But Chris Scott doesn't go the obvious. He loves putting something in that you haven't seen before. Now, there's still a chance. I mean, we haven't got the teams in yet, whether they do put a late change in. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see something unconventional from Chris Shelby. He does go really tall for for a period of time, the forward line, try and stretch the Crows' defence.
What do you do with Danger, Juddy? Do you start him forward, start him in the midfield, or what?
I'd start him in the midfield. I think one of the things that works so well last week for Geelong is they were a little bit unpredictable. People weren't expecting him to start forward, and it worked a treat, but I wouldn't go back to the well with the exact same plan tonight.
There is an expectation, Juddy, amongst the Geelong team, that he's going to spend a significant amount forward, not necessarily from the absolute first bounce, but the way it worked last week and the way I'm hearing it come out of the camp this week is that they're going to do it again.
Yeah, and I'd expect that, but I think for the start of the game, particularly that first 15 minutes when just possession and particularly not getting blown out of the water when you're away from home is going to be so important that I'd certainly be starting him.
When he goes to the full forward line and the reshoot and plays as deep as any full forward has in recent times, who's the unlucky crow who's got that role?
Could be Hardigan, could be Kelly. He did play a lot forward here when the Crows beat them the other time, late in the season. But gee, he put the shivers up anyone who's going to stand. And the key to that, when they played here last time, they got badly beaten in the midfield and he really didn't come into calculations when he was forward. He wasn't as dangerous. Last week when they won the midfield and they got the ball down quick, well, then it's time for Danger to show his speed, his one-on-one. Yeah. And I think maybe that's why they've got Stanley in the side. So they end up forward, they'll have at times Hawkins, Stanley, and maybe Taylor. So that'll take the three big fellas. And that means Danger will get one of the smalls. It might be Kelly. And they might really stretch the Adelaide defence a bit. So, yeah, he's obviously the key to winning the game again, I think, Danger.
There's no doubt that what he did to Sydney, where he played deep and he had a Swans player go all the way with him, that won't happen against Adelaide. We know Adelaide will have the courage to press up, come off him and play. Adelaide defender will never be further than 75, 80 metres away from the ball, and that's what Sydney didn't do.
So you reckon a young Jake Kelly tonight is going to have the courage to stick the zone, play 10 metres in front and back, not being tight one-on-one in danger? You sure that's going to happen? Or?
Not necessarily. I think they'll have one close with him, but they'll have someone else ready to come over the top, like a Jake Lever or something like that.
Yeah.
So they might try and make him accountable with the third tall to make it harder to come off and help whoever's on danger.
Damo's about to bring us the news. But before we get to that, Juddy, you've just been continuing to complain on the plane about the fact Beck was away and you were one out with the kids at home. You only had six staff members per child. Rue has just rolled out the fact he's got six children aged between 1 and 10. Do you have the same amount of staff, Rui, that our man Juddy has, three per child?
No, I've just got the in-laws move in with me, which is a very brave thing to do. I know everyone rolls their eyes when you say that, but it was... what, you got staff, have you?
Well, and you wouldn't want to...
I thought you would.
You wouldn't want to underestimate the challenge of managing people either, Howie. I usually do my performance reviews this time of year with staff.
With stop, start, keep.
With all that sort of stuff. Just areas of improvement. With Beck away, it's very hard to do that.
As a performance review for the staff or for the kids?
Both. Well, that's for the staff, and then it filters down. You know?
Okay. Well, Juddy's got the in-laws in as well. So Nana Kez is a big part of the family setup on the home front, Juddy. So
on the payroll, though, isn't she?
She's an employee.
Right.
Yeah.
Are your in-laws going to be on the payroll, Roo, or not?
Wouldn't have thought.
It's not the Italian way. The Italians tend to just keep it all in-house, don't they?
Well, let's get the news, Damo. What is happening on the Gold Coast? We were hearing last week it could be Kenny Hinkley. That's not the case.
No, and he's managed to get the extension, as we've discussed all week. Look, there's at least four people involved, and it may well be as many as six or seven. Howie's still in the race. They're in no rush. They've totally got the market to themselves now. They've done some interviews. I believe John Barker's been interviewed. Stuart Dew, who did pull out of the interview last Saturday, which was scheduled because of his intelligence telling him that Ken Hinkley had it at that stage. Obviously, that's changed. He's back in the mix. Kingsley from the St Kilda Footy Club is another one. Brendan McCartney, I believe, will or has been interviewed as well. Jade Rawlings is part of it. So So, yeah, there's at least five, I think, and could be as many as seven or eight, and they're just doing the rounds. Everyone's going to have one interview, then they'll go back and shortlist it beyond that point. But they're in no hurry, no mad rush.
They don't want it done before trade week?
I think the Western Bulldogs experience of 2014, when Luke Beveridge came in at the completion of it, I don't think it's the most pressing thing to Mark Evans right now. He just wants to get it right. They've already told up to 10 players who are either contracted or not contracted that they're going to be potentially traded if the interest comes for them. So people are making decisions in that space without the new coach.
Is there anyone else outside of that group, or is that the
group? There's other names I'm not yet aware of too, Roo. You might even be able to shed some light.
Is Ratten a chance, or is he...
No, I'm not hearing his name. I'm not saying he's not in.
Michael Voss a chance?
I haven't heard that name either. Again, not saying they're not in, but I have not heard them at any stage.
What was the go with Hinkley? Was he a chance? All the talk for a minute there was he was gone.
It was massive talk coming out of Adelaide, wasn't it?
It was talk all around, not just Adelaide, from all reports.
Yeah. Look, my take on it is the Port Adelaide Footy Club blinked because they had him on a contract and they were making noises that they were going to make him sit out even if he wanted to leave. But as we know, in the space of 48 hours, it went from that talk to being a three-year extension on top of the one he already had.
A question for Roo and Juddy. You've both in recent times done this process. You've done it twice, Roo, with Phil Walsh and then obviously the tragedy and then having to appoint Don Pike and Brendan Bolton. Both of you heavily involved in that. How hard do you think it is knowing the talent pool? Is there a really, really good coach out there, or is it possible you'd come up and not get a gun coach?
We never really know, do you? Both times we went out there, it was probably really no dissimilar to now. I mean, Walshy was no hope to coach when that happened. So when Brenton Sanderson moved on, that we didn't have anyone in line, so yeah. We just had to look everywhere. And then obviously with what happened with Walshy, we didn't have much alternative. That wasn't planned either. There wasn't a big pool there either. But you know. As is the case when a captain leaves or a CEO leaves or whatever, quite often there's someone underneath that's been held back. So, you know, whether it's Dew, whether it's Kingsley, whether it's Barker, these guys, there's nothing to say that they're not going to be very, very good coaches. I mean, look what Beveridge did from where he come from. Look what Don Pike's doing. There's definitely opportunities for these untried coaches, but there's always a risk with them.
Yeah, there'll definitely be a great coach out there, but they're just not going to be a great coach until they're actually in the main seat and doing the job. But I remember going through the process with Carlton, and Bolts ended up getting the job, but Johnny Barker's work was outstanding and missed out on that job by a minuscule percentage. So I suspect he's probably the front runner at the minute, Purple. And
Can you say the reason why you didn't go with him?
At the end of the day, it was Bolts' ability to teach the players, and he had a unique skill set from being a teacher and a unique way of teaching students. And I actually think that's Don Pike's advantage too. He got a unique skill set of managing people outside the football industry, started and exited two businesses. And I think those skills you learn outside the industry, when you come into a footy industry, they're far at a higher level.
Man management is the most important thing. I'd put that well in front of any game plan you've got. If you can't manage your people and get the best out of the individual, then you're no hope.
Yeah.
So you reckon Johnny Barker's the next cab off the rank, Juddy?
I think he is. He's a really strong at building relationships, really great understanding of the game, great communicator, so I'd be very surprised if he doesn't end up with the job.
Do you interview Stewie Jew?
We early doors, but he didn't make the shortlist of the last
didn't
three
Didn't make
four.
The shortlist?
Yeah.
It's the biggest single thing a footy club can do, still, Howie. That is the thing. I mean, you talk about the four pillars, as Alistair Clarkson does with President CEO. Coach is by far and away number one in a football club. If that appointment isn't right, everything else is not possible to function and degrees of. So to get a gun coach is just the... And Mark Evans will be acutely aware of that. So you're right, he's in no hurry because he'll know this time, particularly the Gold Coast, they have to get an 8 to 10 year
coach. They haven't
got
the luxury of getting it wrong again, as they have, given they've sacked two coaches in 7 years. That's why we often rib you about your involvement with Luke Beveridge, but seeing we're talking deeply about what's required now, what was it about Luke Beveridge that made you go for him over all others?
Well, a bit what Juddy and Rue were just talking about then. He's got a unique set of skills, Luke Beveridge, and a unique CV background. He'd worked in and managed big teams of people in his professional life at the ATO and done landmark deals and was a very capable man manager. Then what he'd done at St Beach was an untold story. To coach at side from C grade to B grade to A grade is still one of the great football stories, I think. So he had a lot more to his CV. He'd been every place he'd been to had won premierships at Collingwood and Hawthorn. So he was a pretty unique set of skills to apply to that role.
Teams in, Damo?
Yeah, teams are in, and there are no changes, which means that Reece Stanley has been retained in that Cats lineup, having come from nowhere to play in that final last week. Roo, with the Jake Lever situation, it's been a feeling in Melbourne now for at least a fortnight that it's going to require Melbourne Footy Club to cough up a lot of money to get him, but to also cough up for two first-round draft picks. I haven't heard what you've been saying about it on Adelaide Radio, but what is it you can shed by way of light on that?
Well, I can't say too much, obviously, in the position that I'm in. So, I honestly can't say a lot.
Right, does that annoy you, Roo?
Is anything, really? Which is not great radio, really, is it?
Can we quickly just probably, do you get frustrated with this and the way it pans out? You know it's part of the game. I know how even you are, but to have this as a topic going on, and you've had it before with Danger, is there a better system? Does this frustrate you that one of your star players, we know he's going to leave.
You're talking about trading or players moving or just players leaving?
Players that we know are leaving, who are going to leave at the end of the year, but we go through this whole thing, building up into key moments.
I don't know if you can do much different with players that just want to leave. I'm not a great advocate for free agency and the way it works. I don't like player moving. I like loyalty and I like, but even if they
this
do
guy's
want
not
to
a
move,
free agent though.
No, I know that. Yeah. No, I'm saying that. Yeah. I was just referring more to the Danger one. Yeah. Yeah. I think you need to be clubs should be fairly compensated if they leave. I know that there's every chance you get no compensation if free agents leave as well. I'd hate to see that come in. I just don't see why they would do that. But if Jake Lever wants to go home, if he wants to go home, well then that's fine. That's his decision, and the clubs can work it out. I'm totally comfortable with that.
Time to welcome for the first time tonight the boundary rider with the biggest muscles in the business down on the boundary with Adelaide coach Rhett Biggins. G'day, Biggles.
Thanks, Howie. Hey, beautiful conditions down here also. Still very warm, but Pikey, more importantly, thanks so much for your time close to the bounce. Good luck tonight. Talk us through selection. Obviously, always tough to cover Mitch McGovern and, of course, Smitty, but in comes Andy Otten. What does he bring?
Yeah, look, he's an important player for...
Just looks like we lost the coach down there. Here we go. Off we go. Yeah, sorry, Pikey. Off you go.
That's right. He hasn't played a lot in the last half of the season when Gov came back in. But certainly when Gov was out for those 7 or 8 weeks, he played an important role for us forward as well as back. So we think he gives us some flex, and he's going to be a nice aerial target for us tonight.
Hey, Pikey Roo here, mate. You surprised they went as tall as they did, Geelong?
Oh, not really. I mean, I think they probably look at Taylor, whether he goes forward or back. We're probably still wait to see how they start, but they've certainly got some options now with Stanley in the side as well, and clearly that means that we'd expect Blixavs won't spend any time in the ruck because they've got the two genuine rucks.
And Don, both you guys and Geelong both really good at winning contested footy and really efficient at scoring. Is it a case of just focusing on your strengths and trying to be better at Geelong tonight, or will you try and play a slightly different type of game to negate how they play?
Oh, look, I think you always assess the opposition and work out, what their style is and how you think you can counter that. But, probably 80% of it is still the way you want to play. And, we're really confident in the fact we've got to this position by playing a brand of footy that we think is going to hold up in finals footy and did certainly in the first week of the finals. So, we're really mindful of making sure our messaging to our players is to back in the way we want to play. We adapt around what Geelong are going to do, and they're a good side and have been a good side for a long time. But it's important we stay focused on what we do and we do well and, focus on bringing that tonight.
Hey, Pikey, I think that Chris Scott might have been voted by the coaches as the hardest coach to coach against. I think I read that somewhere. Is that a factor? Do you actually come up against some coaches and, they're harder to read, they've got a few more tricks up their sleeve. Is that part of your preparation?
Oh, we think through all the different scenarios and, again, it's probably a bit to do with the flexibility of your team as well in terms of options to play guys, with, for instance, Dangerfield tonight, does he play midfield or forward? Well, if you've got that optionality, it allows you to play those different cards. So we certainly think through that. We think through how they like you to set it up. But, obviously, as I said before, we focus pretty heavily on ourselves and, I think quite clearly in finals footy it's about the contest and about pressure on the ball and, that'll be no different tonight.
Don, you touched on Mark Blitzarves a moment ago when you were referencing Stanley's inclusion in the team. What is it you expect Blitzarves to be doing tonight?
Well, I think they were they noted last week he went to Kennedy and he did a good job there. And I think they were comfortable with the fact that if he's got a starting spot, that he generally works off a player really well. So, look, we'd expect he'll probably be, along with Scotty Selwood, set for Sloan, we would have thought.
And just one of those other questions about the versatility of the Cats. Harry Taylor, do you have a view going in as to where you think you'll see him?
Well, I think we'll see him both ends, to be honest. I think that's one of the things. I don't know where he's going to start. That'll all be revealed probably in, what, 60-odd minutes. So we've sort of planned for both, a bit like we have with Dangerfield. But, you know, our guys will adapt around that. And again, we think both ends of the ground and through the middle, we've got some quality to ask some questions.
Pikey Sloaney had his appendix out, couldn't get up for the first final. Where is he out of 10? Is he a 10 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, or 11 out of 10?
I'd say he's probably an 11 out of 10, Sloaney. He was probably about 3 or 4 days short to play in the last final. So pretty much by the following Monday, he was ready to do full training. And he's sort of built over the last 2 weeks, and he's jumping out of his skin tonight. I'll be pretty confident what Sloaney's going to bring to the table tonight.
Don, best of luck tonight to you and the Adelaide Crows. Thanks for having a chat with us on Triple M Footy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Let's get down to the boundary once again to our man, Rhett Biggins, who has a superstar cat. Biggles.
Yeah, I'm joined by the three-time premiership star, Matty Scarlett. Scully, thanks so much for your time so close to the bounce. Nice little huddle out there in the centre of the oval, just with the boys embracing around the coaching staff. What was said?
Oh, we do that every week, mate, so nothing new there. Just talk about what we've spoken about all week, and the skipper had a few words to the boys before Scotty comes in and just reinforces the messages throughout the week. So yeah, we've done that all year, mate, so that's nothing new.
Hey, Matty, Mark Rusciuto, mate, Paddy Dangerfield, he's been the talk of the town over here in Adelaide. I think he's had the back page just about every week, which he's pretty comfortable with, I'm sure. But how is he? And have you made a decision, forward, midfield, or a bit of both?
Yeah, we've made a decision. He'll start in the middle, and then he'll spend a fair bit of time in the front half as well. So I was pushing for him to play a bit of halfback this week, but I couldn't get that across the line. He's going well, mate. As you know, he enjoys this moment, enjoys the build-up. He's super relaxed, and hopefully he has a big night for us because we need him to.
Scarlo, as you know, you cover the defensive part of the ground. Have you got Harry Taylor down your end? He was outstanding last week on Buddy.
He was, mate. Yeah, we're really fortunate last week with Domsey missing, and Harry was going to start forward last week, so very fortunate we could swing an All-Australian defender back onto Buddy. He did a super job, so he'll start down back tonight. Play on Tex, play on Jenkins, but he'll spend a bit of time forward as well if we need to kick some goals. He moved forward against the Crows last time and kicked 5.5 or something, so he'll play both ends.
Last time he was here, he did play the entire game with a piece of ham in his sock, and he kicked 5. Do you think he's going to do that again?
Oh, mate, wouldn't know with Harry. I'm not sure, mate. That was a weird story. I haven't even spoke to him about that. It was a little bit strange.
And Stanley's kept his spot in the side. It's a really tall lineup from you guys. Did the weather play a bit of a role in going so tall tonight?
A little bit, yeah. And just he played really well last week. He jumped up at the footy and also gives Zach Smith a bit of relief in the ruck. So hopefully Reece can have another good performance tonight. And Zach Smith was outstanding last week, so hopefully we can get a bit of an edge in the ruck.
Matty, recalling the Kaya Cockatoo for this game, I'd imagine it caused a lot of, I'll say, distress in terms of knowing the ramifications of him breaking down again. How was it actually making the decision to bring him back?
Yeah, look, he was probably almost ready to play a couple of weeks ago. He's had a really long rehab this time, and everybody's really confident that he's right to play. So his upside is extraordinary with his forward pressure, and he can kick 4 or 5 goals in a quarter for us. So he's been cleared to play. He's had a super rehab, and he was probably right to go last week, but held him off for a week. So I think the decision, obviously there's a tiny bit of risk. He hasn't played for a while, so but the upside's just too great, we feel.
Going with two tags in the midfield with Blixarves, with two ruckmen in, it looks like Blixarves and Scotty Sherwood will get jobs.
They will, mate, yeah. They'll have those boys in the middle, the Crouch boys and Sloaney. So that also having Reece in the team allows Blitz to stay out on the wing or inside to do those jobs as well. So two really good competitors for us. They've got a big job tonight, whoever they go to.
Matty, so beautifully spoken. You've really taken to the media now. You're obviously really enjoying it, Scarlo.
Oh, it's not too bad. I'm a little bit more relaxed now than when I was playing. I used to hate you blokes.
Yes, with a passion.
With a passion, yes. Well said.
Good on you, Scarlo. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Matty Scarlo, the hardest man to ever interview, he was. Well, he didn't do interviews unless they lost.
He'll end up with his own segment like Judge Jamie Scarlett. Yeah. That's where he's headed at the moment. Yes.
Now, Das, as well as missing planes today, for the first time in, well, it must be 26 rounds in now, you're actually attempting to bring something to the table, which is exciting.
It's only very rarely things come across my desk. And, Rashid, only when they are of a nature that needs to be brought to the table do you go with it. And it's fair to say there's been a little different feel to the Triple M man this year. You wouldn't quite call it metrosexual, Rue, but I think the Friday huddle has covered ground that maybe we haven't covered in the past before on Triple M. And Rashut does the number one breakfast show in Melbourne, so him and Ditz cover a fair bit of ground. But when two of our own Roos sat down for a one-on-one chat this week, and they talked about their love lives, they talked about their wives, they talked about falling in love. Well, fair to say, my ears pricked up, Roo.
Well, girlfriends in one
category. Well, that's right. Girlfriends in one category. And I tell you what, Roo, I'm very interested. This is a man from Wakeree. He grew up in the Riverland.
Yeah.
He's a father of six. Yeah, you don't get
old school.
Just as old school as it gets. I'll be very interested, Roo, to have you listen to a bit of this. This is the Howie Games and our own Chris Judd and Mark Howard covering some very interesting ground. Have a listen.
I have a beautiful girl at home by the name of Erica. And we talk a lot, but I think the moment I fell in love with her, I can picture it quite clearly in my head, and she'd made me a bowl of soup and I spilt it everywhere across the floor and the table and everything, and I thought, oh, she's going to crack it here, and she just laughed, said, don't worry about it. And it's a silly thing, but to me that was like, this could be the girl that I really want to be with. Can you get it to a moment like that? That's a hard question to ask.
Yeah, I've got a couple of early moments. Initially, I was just thinking, you know, this girl's a belter. Let's run with this.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I just remember dominating this Scrabble game at the start, and just it was almost an unattainable lead. I was up by 80 points or whatever, and I started to have pity on this poor model who was clearly just couldn't match my
your intellect.
weighty intellect. Right. And then I thought, I'm just going to take it easy. I just started putting out a couple of three-letter words just to, so I wouldn't embarrass her. And with that, she had a bit of a run with the letters and a couple of Q's and Z's later, and she's hit the lead.
Oh, no!
She's a serious operator, Beck. So I think there are a couple of early things that made me realise we're dealing with someone who's had a little bit more depth than just her beauty.
Well, I don't know how to address this, but I fell in love over a bowl of soup. It's an interesting analogy from Howie.
You didn't make me to move with the times. All right? The new millennium.
I just thought I had a belter on my hands, says Juddy.
I didn't mind that part.
Mate, I can't believe that she got close to me in a game of Scrabble, and I knew I was in love. What is wrong with you two?
I couldn't leave Howie hanging like that.
Oh,
That's on the number one rating sports podcast in Australia, Roo, right. The Howie Games, which has got Bruce McElhaney this week. Juddy came on.
Right.
Greg Norman, Ricky Ponting, the works. But to be honest, there was an article written out of it, and I thought that's what you were going to allude to. A very positive interview, but a very negative article came out that Juddy said the first time he met Beck, she was perfect because she was pissed and he was right in his sweet spot. And that was the article that came out, which I thought was a bit unfortunate, Chris.
Pissed and attractive, Roo. Taking it to context. That was my hitting zone.
Do you know what I find interesting? Neither of these two can look Rashut in the eye. They're sitting in the front box. They're looking at their toes, Damo. They don't want to have any eye contact.
Rashut can't look at
them. Rashut, he's shaking his head.
I'm uncomfortable. Rashut's washing his hands with germ wash.
Well, what do you think, Roo? We're new age men here at Triple M. What are your thoughts on that?
Daddy gets a pass, actually. With the use of the word belter across the line. But Howie, I'm quite concerned, to be quite honest, really.
Tell you what.
He actually is Howie. Look at him.
No, yeah.
So, Das, when are you dropping your bomb?
Well, mate, we needed to put that on the table,
that's
Howie.
It.
We needed to
are you comfortable
get that
with that?
Yeah, on reflection, how do you feel you went with that one?
You know what? In the 33 episodes, we haven't edited anything, and I heard that back, and I thought, geez, we probably need to cut that out, and I forgot to get onto the editing department, so I'd stayed in there. Probably not my finest work, I'd say, Das, to be honest with you.
It's been a big night for you and Erica tonight. We've announced your wedding, found out how you've fallen in love.
Soup will be on the menu, obviously. Yeah,
exactly. Give us a call, 133353. Give yourself a chance to go in the running to win tickets for you and a mate to Midnight Oil live in concert, and also be in the running for this year's tickets to the grand final. We're giving away two to the Toyota AFL grand final taking place next week. All right, who we got on the line, Das?
Oh, we've got the judge ready to go and interact with the people, as he loves to do, favourite part of the Friday huddle.
Yes.
Over to you, Judge.
We've got Josh from Cranbourne to kick us off. Josh, how are you going?
Not too bad, yourself?
Very good, thanks, mate. What do you do with yourself?
I'm a qualified cabinet maker. A very good one at that, too.
Ah, very good.
I would say I'm the Chris Judd of cabinet making.
That's a serious cabinet maker we're dealing with here.
And he'll follow up for Josh. What's his finest piece? What are you good at, Josh? Have you got?
It sounds like Josh is in the zone and he's ready.
All right, okay.
The Chris Judd of cabinet makers, Joshy. Here we go. Now, Joshua from Cranbourne. Since Juddy took home the Brownlow in 2010, there have been 7 winners. Name 6 of them, please.
Jimmy Bartel, Dane Swan.
No, you're out.
Gary Ablett.
You're out, Joshy. But good luck with the cabinet making. We appreciate your call, brother.
He's not the Christian of the pressure test, let's be honest.
He was a little bit fun about it, too.
He had a bit of swagger about him. Juddy, who's up next?
We've got Sean from St Kilda. Sean, what are you up to tonight?
just at work at the moment, but all good.
Where are you working at, mate?
I'm in a security control room.
Everything under control?
Always, mate, just like you.
Very good, mate. All right, I'll put you over to Howie.
It's the false mate that I don't enjoy. It's just the mate is just so lacking in any warmth, Darcy.
No, it's just all awkward.
It's unfair and it's untrue. And Sean wouldn't feel that.
All right, Sean, since Juddy took home the Brownlow in 2010, there have been 7 winners. Name 6 of them, please, Big Daddy.
Dane Swan, yep. Matt Pritter, Nat Fife, yep. Trent Hodgson, Sam Mitchell, Gary Ablett Jr., Patrick Dangfield.
Well, that's all 7, Darce.
They got Google in that control center, Sean.
No, the internet's actually down at the moment.
Sean, you come clean, mate, because you get bonus points if you tell the truth. Did you have a screen in front of you with that information on? Yes or no?
Oh, I did not, no.
All right, Shawnee, well, you're in the running to go and see Midnight Oil and possibly win 2 tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final, but you need to take on the King of Adelaide, who I would assume is very sharp at everything he does, including the quiz.
He'll shoot the lights out here, Rishu.
You think so?
He will shoot the lights out. He eats pressure, Rishu, right, for breakfast.
I'll be frank, I'm backing against the
You're backing against
I'm
Roo?
Backing, I'm good going idea. For our man, right. Shawnee. All right, yes. Roo.
Good idea.
Here we go. Roo, since Juddy took home the Brownlow in 2010... Gee. There have been 7 winners. Name 6 of them.
Far out. Dangerfield.
Yes. That's one.
Cochin.
Yes.
Mitchell.
Three. Yes.
What, am I going to get 6 in 4 seconds?
It's called the pressure
test. That's a pressure test. And a bit concerned about your start too, Roo. Yeah, I thought your throne was there.
Yeah, I thought it had a bit longer than that.
Well done to you, Shawnee, and St Kilda, off to see Midnight Oil, my friend.
Is that it?
And you that's go
it,
in mate. The running for this year's 2 AFL Grand Final. A couple of tickets to you, Shawno.
Good luck, Sean.
All right, well done to you as well, Roo. You got 2 there, which was a pretty good effort. Damo,
3.
Plenty more news. Now, we spoke about Jake Levier earlier on. We haven't brought up Bryce Gibbs yet. With Roo in the room, I think it needs to be raised.
Yeah, the problem with Roo being in the room, though, he actually ends up taking the air out of these topics because he says he can't talk about them. But we expect Howie, as we have now for... Oh, since the completion of the home and away season, for Bryce Gibbs to ask the question that he asked this time last year, and that is to leave Carlton and come back to the Crows. He's still got a year of a contract to run. Juddy, can you shed some light now that you're about to take over officially as a Carlton board member?
Well, I know that it won't happen. I know that Rusciuto in Italian literally means man of his word. Right. And Rusciuto knows that Bryce Gibbs is contracted. Right. And I just know that a man of his integrity... wouldn't come after a contracted player. It would be out of character, and I couldn't see it happening. So we can put that one to bed, well, I would assume.
What you do know is that I don't play overs for too much, do I?
There's a nice little comeback.
Is that you're demanding overs for one of your players who is exiting, but you don't want to pay overs for one who wants to come, Rishu.
Oh, it's up to everyone's opinion what overs is, isn't it, Damien?
Well, I think we just to sign off on that. Melbourne Footy Club is pushing back on wanting to have to pay 2 first-round draft picks, but... if they want him, that is the opening gambit, Howie, from the Crows to Melbourne in order for them to get Jake Levy across.
He's not giving much away, Roo. I'm just reading a bit of body language there, and I saw a few eyebrows rouse with the 2 first-round picks.
Interested how you know that, Damien.
Well, you've been telling Melbourne that's what's required. Not you personally, but I've had it put back to me that that's exactly what Adelaide Crows have
told. What do you think he's worth if he was to go to Melbourne?
It's the icy one, isn't it? I'm obviously a first round, but then I think
you're going to give up a first round, are you? Okay, that's nice of it.
Well, that's your starting point. But I think they demand a second one for him, given that he's probably a third
prong backman, which is probably also to your point too. Why are you going to pay him so much money? But anyway, I'll let you sort that out with
now. I'm reading a bit of the retreat body language. You're starting to just bristle a little bit with that.
Just want to hear the logic behind the comments. That's all.
Tell me too, please, Rashoot. Was the raising of Christian Petrarca's name, was that Adelaide Footy Club requesting that of Melbourne? Was it Melbourne just using his name to get a gauge on what type of player would Adelaide accept?
What does your mail? What did your mail say?
My mail suggested it might have been Melbourne Footy Club just going back to Adelaide to say, when you say we don't want a player, what if we had this player? They rattled off about three or four names. Yeah. Then got to Petrarca, and then there was a little bit of engagement.
Then everyone's ears pricked, didn't they?
Yeah. Is that a fair reflection of how that conversation went?
It may well have been. I don't know, to be honest. I think you know everything to do with that. But all right, we'll know that he was never going to leave Melbourne.
Yeah.
No, but he still lives with his mum and dad, doesn't he?
Don't know, but he's a serious player.
Yeah, he does. No, he's a serious player.
So you'd accept a first-round draft pick and Petrarca if that was... That's what you're trying to get.
I think everyone would accept that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think they would. Hey, Howie, Jake Stringer still fascinates the footy industry, given how it's played out post-season. Year run of a contract, 23-year-old player, All-Australian 2015. Luke Beveridge going public with reasons behind the need to move him out of the footy club. But again, it has had a lessening effect on the currency that he's got by way of what the Bulldogs will bring back in. So I keep saying, Darcy.
So let me understand that. So by talking openly about the reasons as to why he's leaving, you think that's lowered his currency, Jake Leather?
It's lowered it because it's gone beyond the point of no return. He's not going back. He cannot go back to the Bulldogs.
I don't understand how you can say that, Damo, when that man has got a contract to go at the Bulldogs.
Yep.
And so unless a deal is achieved, then that's exactly where he'll end up as far as I would be aware. So
he won't be going back to us. And I think you know that the relationship has now got to that point where it cannot be retrieved on the back of these public comments.
But how can you say that categorically if that is where he's got a contract, Damo? Then that would be where you'd have to go back.
Well, even more fascinating, Darcy, as to why Luke Beveridge would go public with what you're saying. Most times, 99 times out of 100, these situations are played out behind the scenes without a coach basically giving public
reasons. I'm not saying one way or the other, but I think, like anything, there's still got to be a deal. We would have said with Bryce Gibbs declaring that he was going to go back there, there's no way that he stays at Carlton.
It's very different to Bryce Gibbs.
It is different.
That's very different.
Yeah,
but Bryce Gibbs only goes for personal reasons. Jake Stringer is being kicked out of that footy club.
Yeah, he's been told to find a future elsewhere.
Yeah,
but
so let's not beat around the bush with it,
I'm not beating around the bush, but you're saying there's no way he can go back. And I'm saying if he's got a year in his contract, that's a live possibility. It has to be a live possibility, regardless of what's been said.
It's a 1% possibility.
Yeah, well, it's a possibility. Yeah. So,
but it's not going to happen.
Well, unless you get the right trade done, I'm assuming that. I use that example, they're very different, but when players aren't given the currency that others deserve, there's clubs have been known to do that before and stand their ground and say, well, if we can't get... that's an All-Australian player 2 years ago who can seriously play the game. You'd have to get a fair deal for him to leave,
What's a fair deal in your eyes?
Well, I'm not an expert on that, but I mean, I think they're talking first-round pick, and I think you'd get or more, I don't know. But
it won't be more. It'll be back end of first round, the way the industry is talking about it right now. And strangely enough, Geelong's first round...
You seem very categorical on that. You didn't know a lot about Jake Leaver. How come you're suddenly a list managing expert, Damo, on this one?
I know a bit about Jake Leaver. I just know I was going to get no answers out of that man down there. Mm.
Damo, the thing I haven't quite understood with this story. If I'm a Bulldog supporter, I'm sitting at home thinking, why? Can someone tell me why the club is forcing this man out? I haven't heard an answer to that question.
Well,
what would
the man here would know, but he's not going to say it. I don't know why. I'll tell you why. His behaviour, obviously, Howie, and again, there's been spin upon spin.
That's a big generalisation, his behaviour.
Okay, he was late for training. Forget what everyone says about this on the public record. He was late for training. His general commitment to the cause is not good, and he said that himself during the week at a press conference for the NAB Trade Radio launch, where he basically said he'd be lying if he said he did everything right to in order to play.
But Dan, I'm happy to talk about it. I haven't spoken directly to Luke Beveridge or to Jake Stringer, so I'm having an opinion like you would be. So unless you've spoken to people directly, you can't know.
Well, I have spoken to people directly.
Well, to those two in particular, who would know the true reasons if that's the case.
I'm talking to Jake Stringer.
I'm talking about myself and my opinion. Yeah. It's not saying who you've spoken to. But in terms of players' routes, sometimes don't reach their full potential at a club because they're not absolutely 100%. How many players change clubs and then have a 10-year career? We've seen it, history right throughout the league. So someone will back in that at this age, with a big boot saying, you actually need to find a new home. Sometimes that is the catalyst for you to become the best player you can be.
Yeah, but Darce, every Bulldog supporter will sit there and say, well, why couldn't our club get him to play like that?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, they got him to be an All-Australian. They got him to be a premiership player. He kicked 40 goals this year. So it's not as he hasn't performed. But
maybe
I think sometimes
he's had enough chances.
Yeah, and then sometimes you send a message, Harry, to the rest of the group going, the way Luke Beveridge coaches, 18 players have to buy into that style. They have to buy into team defence. They have to buy into every minute detail. That sends a very powerful message to the group saying, it doesn't matter who you are or how talented you are, unless you do, there's not a home for you here. So I think maybe it's as much about the message as it is about the individual. I wouldn't read much more into it than that.
The time to trade is when they're contracted too, because that's when you've got some leverage. If he is uncontracted, all of a sudden they can walk through the pre-season potentially, and you do lose a little bit of leverage over that deal.
Just a bit of friction in the back row as well between...
A little bit heated.
That's what you're telling him. He doesn't know anything about Jake Lever, and he started to bristle at that comment.
Well, he certainly backed away from Reshoot. Reshoot bristled a little bit, but he was a bit happy.
It'd be like someone trying to take your bowl of soup. No, you've got to stand your ground, don't you?
Howie, that's what we do on Triple M, as you well know. We regularly have the fights on air and we're okay in the advert.
Oh, now, we said that Das had an exclusive. Now, this song last week was played. Are you aware of this song, Roo?
No.
This is Juddy's mum, Lisa Engel, performing her magnificent song. Nearly got a run at a grand final. Groundswell of media support that this would get a run on the Saturday rub on grand final day. I should stop talking.
A short run. Just,
hang on.
You've got to listen to the words, Roo.
Yeah. Now, the big voting has been through. Juddy, you've got some exclusive news. You've just been on the phone to your mum. What can you report?
I was actually on the phone to our lawyers at Judd Corp, and they've been sitting in a room at SCA, Southern Cross Austereo there, been nutting in a deal, and I can confirm there is a one-show deal on the table. Well, on Saturday grand final day.
A live performance.
Which we'll be accepting. And we're going live. So it's going to be huge.
Michael Gudinski running the
Gudinski's
show.
Involved. Yeah, okay. And I think McCartney's the undercard at this stage. But
so your mum will be singing on the Saturday huddle outside the MCG live. And when you use the term we... Does this mean you'll be providing some type of accompaniment?
Technically not, Howie, but I'll be managing the process. And I always said if the deal was right, if the deal stuck up, we'd get it done.
This is great news. This is great news for the whole of Triple M. I can't wait to hear this, Juddy.
Is it a four-figure deal, a five-figure deal, more than that?
Well, you don't need to go into particulars now, but it was enough to get the deal done and... It's going to be a serious production.
Is it an ambassador role with Vizzy at the end of it?
Roo, this is always a very nice part of the Friday huddle.
Yeah, I like it.
Very much embrace all sides of football. And the magnificent wife of Rory Sloan, Belinda Sloan, joins in the box. G'day, B. Great to see you.
Great to see you guys too.
How are you as a football supporter? You've lived through this for a long time now. Big game like
sorry,
this.
Sorry, Harry,
do you
before
get
we go
nervous?
On, did you just call Belinda B? Yeah.
We're on mate basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you go to school together, Belinda? No, did you grow up together? Or
well, you were,
it sounds a bit over-familiar for me.
How did you feel, B?
I felt comfortable. I loved it.
We felt a bit
instantly relaxed.
All right. Well, that's good
relaxed.
It's about building rapport.
No, well, no, just wanted to make sure that was okay.
What would you prefer he call me?
Belinda, maybe.
At least he's not sniffing her hair, Duke.
Well,
that's a good point.
You make a reasonable point.
That's a good point.
I just wanted to make sure that was all above board.
Now, B.
Yes.
Do you get nervous coming to the football on a big game like this?
To be honest, usually every game I'm a bag of nerves. Today, I'm very oddly confident. I feel really, really confident today. And I was saying before, I don't know if that's arrogance or that can just be taken as I've got full belief that these guys can do it tonight.
We asked the coach, Dom Pike, how he thought Rory was, and he gave him an 11 out of 10. Would you agree with that in terms of fitness and health and everything at the moment after the appendix?
Well, look, I don't know what he's like on the track at the club. At home, he's still using it, so he's not doing the dishes. He's not doing anything around the home. I mean, we've got trees growing out of our gutters at home, so I like to think that he's still a bit sore, but no, I definitely think he's more than fine to be out there tonight.
Can I ask you about that? Appendix surgery, most normal people have a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, then I go back to work. Your husband was desperately trying to play 10 days afterwards. Do you have any say in that? Do you say to him, you're insane, you need to hold back and make sure it's right, or is that out of your hands?
Well, look, his family and I did have a bit of a chat to him and said, come on, it's probably not a clever decision, just for long-term health as well. But in the end, he's going to do what he wants. I think he knew that it was a bit risky and it was really pushing it. But, the doctor didn't give him the tick anyway.
No doubt this time, though. He was always fine.
No doubt at all.
Yeah. And, Belinda, you got the Brownlow on Monday night.
Sure do.
Should Adelaide win, you'll be going by yourself, I understand. Will you sit on a table with some of the other girlfriends, or how will that all work?
No, I'm hoping hoping I'll be dateless again because that means that it's a great result tonight. But I won't actually go into the Brownlow if that's the case. I'll do my hosting duties on the red carpet with Haim and then I'll just head off and have a few quiet ones with some friends, I think, and watch it.
Very nice. So you're working for the Seven Network on the red carpet?
I am, yes.
Absolutely fantastic. Alongside Brendan Favola. Now, Juddy could probably tell you a couple of Brownlow stories about Fev.
Shout out for the pressure points, Glenn.
I was actually a metre away from that night.
We'll give him a bit of a talking to before the carpet.
Yeah, I was waiting for Juddy to actually put a shepherd or something.
Now, Belinda, as Rue heard earlier on, I love a good love story, and we were discussing soup and all sorts of things earlier on. Where did you first meet Rory, and what was it about him?
We met in Victoria. We're both from Melbourne. We just met through a mutual friend who was a groomsman at our wedding. Friends for a little while, and then he sort of charmed me, and I made the move over.
How did he charm you? What type of stuff did he do?
You see what Rory's like. He's got his little cheesy grin. He's innocent. He's just a likeable type of guy. So he just kind of, I don't know, he won me over.
Has he got a little cutesy nickname for you, B?
B, actually.
There you go. And he's a star. He's a star here in Adelaide. We come over here for the cricket, and they're always they're showing all these ads where I think he's advertising kitchens.
He is.
Hasn't exactly got the Robert De Niro thing down pat at the moment. How would you rate his acting performances?
He's gotten a lot better.
Has he?
Yeah.
Gee, I'm glad I didn't see the early ones.
No. There's a few that you don't. A bit like Ruse ads that we see over here.
Yeah, I know. They're not too good. Hey, I'll tell you what. You impressed us at the pub once, and just for people who don't know, Rory Sloane bought into a pub that I've owned for a while, and Belinda came out for a few drinks on a Friday night and went up to the bar, Juddy, and ordered a few beers, which was great. But what she did next was what really set her apart from most women. She's picked up 4 pints at once.
In one go.
Said thanks to the barman and just went back over to the table.
Carried
now,
4 pints back.
I've been in pubs for a fair while and I wouldn't carry 4. I go with 3, but safety. But a girl to pick up 4 pints, Belinda. You've either got big hands or...
I'm a thirsty girl, okay?
See, this was probably the moment, Rue, where Rory fell in love.
We all fell in love.
That's a great skill, Belinda. Have you known that was part of what you could do?
No, I haven't actually. I've got some waitressing experience behind me, but when I knew that these drinks were for me, I didn't want to spill any of them, so, yeah.
Belinda Sloane is talking to us, the wife of Rory, who's getting set to run out there in a preliminary final in about 25 minutes' time. Post-season, do you get some time away together? I know the footballers like to go on their trips, but no doubt you and Rory have got things planned, hopefully with a premiership medallion around his neck.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We've got a couple of weddings, obviously wedding season for footballers usually around that time of year, but we're heading off for a bit of a surf trip to the Maldives.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful. Getting away for about 10 days, which will be nice. Just the two of us to just relax. Rory will surf, I'll bake. Sunbake, that is. and then he's got the All Oz match as well in Adelaide and in Perth.
Yeah, B, we've had a bit of an interesting
night. Oh, B, is it now? Now that I've warmed things up, you're going to drop a B, are you?
Yeah, no, look at this.
Now we're all familiar.
Watch out for your hair, B.
Because
he's moving in close.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
I'm channeling my Nath Brown tonight. He got axed for Mark Rashuda tonight, so it's been a little bit awkward. But well, if he was here, he would want to ask you... if you had a celebrity leave pass, i.e. Oh, if, you know... if So, yeah, Brad Pitt or, you know, someone unattainable? Anyone on the list?
Yeah, I actually... Unattainable?
Well...
Come on, you never know.
I take that back, yes.
No, Paul Walker, bless his soul, he went and got in a car accident and is unfortunately not around anymore. So I have said to Rory, surely I get a second. It's Mick Fanning. And he thinks that's a bit too close to home because Bocchi, who obviously used to play with the Crows, is good mates with him.
Wow.
Had a kiss on the cheek before from him. Rory seems to think it's
a bit too close to home.
You don't reckon Zach Jones? Could you get him over the line and say that was Mick Fanning?
No, Mick Fanning. It's all Mick Fanning.
How about Rory on the other side?
Jessica Alba, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a clear arrangement, that, isn't it? I like that. That's a discussion that's been had.
I'm glad we've got something in common because my celebrity leave pass is Mick Fanning as well, B.
Yeah. Exactly the same.
Hey, best of luck tonight. Hopefully it all works the way of you and the Crows. We look forward to watching you on the 7 coverage of the Brownlow on Monday night alongside Feb. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much, guys.
That was Belinda Sloane, known to B as her friend does.
It was beautiful to catch up with her.
Great to have B in. in the box. The Crows are out on the ground. The Cats haven't appeared yet. Damien Barrett is in the back row with a little bit more news to get through, Damo. You brought us up to date with the Lever situation, with the Stringer, Gibbs, and what's happening at Gold Coast. What's happening down at the St Kilda Footy Club?
I got picks 7 and 8, Howie, as a result of what happened transaction-wise in last year's trade period. And there's a feeling amongst other clubs anyway that the Saints will give up one of those two early picks, 7 or 8, to get someone in. They feel they need to get someone in. Again, I'm just reflecting the feelings of other clubs here, Das. But again, it's obviously at their disposal, but they have got a view that they will use it if they can find the right player. Finding the right player is going to be the tough thing because the big name players have been effectively cleared out. Now, I don't hear any interest from them on Stringer at this stage, and that might have been something they do. But yeah, there's a real strong feeling that they will use that pick.
We discussed earlier in the year about Kelly from the GWS Giants, and he has re-signed with that football club. Rue, I was one out where I was saying, the boys were saying it's all about loyalty and sticking with their football club, which I know you're very strong on. It's a lot of money, I thought, for a young man to give up a potential rumoured 10-year deal in the multi-millions of dollars.
What clubs were keen?
Damo, North, obviously.
North, clearly. Carlton, I believe, Mark, emerged as the second option and probably in the end the favoured option potentially. And St Kilda was
Anyone
always in the
near
mix.
A flag?
Not in terms of who I would say was the top three when it came down to the crunch.
Pretty obvious he wants to play in a premiership for a while and then maybe cash in after that.
Potentially. I think that's a bit of a feeling around more generally with some of those GWS players, isn't it? That they want to try and see it out there for a flag. And I think when or if that happens, I think that's when you'll potentially see the floodgates open and quite a few come back to their home states.
And, Jody, you had the same management as you did, Paul Connor's management, and you did the same thing. You had 6 years and then came back. The 2 years that Josh Kelly's added to the time he's already spent at GWS will make it the six. And I think it's a really good ploy by Paul Connor's management group, as a rule, to give the player who's left his home state to go to another one 6 years to do it for himself, and he might still stay beyond that moment, but at least 6 years is a significant amount of time anyway if he does leave.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have been Josh Kelly's call, obviously, but you've got to remember the first couple of years you enter the system, you're not really a proper player, you're still working your way up to it, so that 6 years gives you a good stint at one club, but still enough time at your second club to have a meaningful impact, so we'll wait and see if that's how it pans out for him.
The Monopoly game at Macca's, he's back, come in and play today.
The Cats, how are you? Look, they are going to be, and if they're not the preferred choice of Jake Stringer, they're going to be in the top two, and it's going to be interesting because they've only got pick 20, Das, to get it done. And that's where I see Jake Stringer in this draft, but you and others at the Bulldogs would see him a whole lot higher than that.
Pick 20 is a fair... they should accept that, don't
they? Yeah, well, as a starting point, you might want to get something back at the other end of it. But
what do you reckon, Das?
I think he'd be higher than that. He was a pick 5 himself. He's 4 years in the system. He's been an All-Australian and Premiership player in that time. I wouldn't think you'd go backwards, would you?
But his club's kicking him out, Das.
Okay.
Oh, Das, Damo, he's just going to be a bit frosty tonight. I don't think any drinks in the bar later on.
Who's Damo working for tonight?
For Coach Hire, this is the Triple M Footy Preview. Full game preview mode next. Can't leave the site. Coach Hire delivers. Call 13 15 52. The Cats taking on the Crows from McDonald's. Triple M rocks finals footy.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.